My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good Friday afternoon. And welcome into Grant and Danny. Without Danny today, the final day of his vacation. He'll be back on Monday. It's August 9th, 2024. I'll be with you all the way up until 6:15 tonight. Nats pregame at that time with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. The Nats play the Angels at 6:45 tonight. Big storyline is that Anthony Rendon is back home. This will be Tony's first game back in the nation's capital since he left for the Angels on a 7-year, $245 million contract that has gone very, very poorly. Not for Rendon. He's getting all of that money. But for the Angels, who are paying it to him and not getting a whole lot out of him. He's been hurt a lot. He has underperformed. Angels fans are over him and over the contract, but he comes home to a fan base that will greet him warmly tonight as a World Series hero. He was beloved here in D.C. He's one of the great Nationals ever. So we'll talk about Rendon coming up closer to first pitch at some point here on G&D. You know how sometimes, like midway through the day, you start thinking about something that happened to you while you were sleeping or a dream or really early in the morning? Within the last hour, I just realized that I don't know what time this was. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this. I got a alert on my phone, probably in the 5 o'clock hour. If you told me it was at 4 or 6:30, I would also believe it. But I was still asleep. My phone starts going off. I thought my wife's phone alarm was going off, so she turns hers off, and then she's yelling for me to grab my phone, and I didn't think it was my phone. And I realized we had a tornado warning, both of us on our phones, in our immediate area. And the instructions were, you know, get into your basement or do whatever. There's a tornado warning. And both of us kind of looked at each other, half asleep, and said, yeah, I'm sure. And we just went right back to bed. That was our reaction to the big warning. And looking back, that was pretty stupid, I would say. I feel like there should be a different reaction. In my mind, I'm going, I don't think Glenn Powell's here. I don't think there's anything to worry about. My guess is Kate's not tracking this storm. I'm going to be just fine. But I probably should have done more than we did. Should have been some action taken. I got a nice show for you today. Very, very excited about our lineup. John Middlecoff, who hosts 3 and Out, is a former scout. He's really, really insightful. We've had him on the show. He brings good energy. He's a great NFL guest. He stops by at 3. He's had strong takes on Brandon Ayuk and a possible trade. He also has thoughts on Jaden Daniels I want you guys to hear. So we'll talk to Middlecoff, the former scout, coming up in about 55 minutes. Also on the show today, Eric Edholm of NFL.com. Edholm ranked every single team power rankings 1 to 32 going into the season. Washington, while in the mid-20s, fairly low on his list, seems to be a team he's got an affinity for. He thinks there's a chance they could be the sleeper that stuns everybody this year. In fact, I was texting with Eric last night, and he's like, do you think I'm too high on them? But we will chop that up when he's on the show coming up in 3 hours, right at 5 o'clock. You'll want to hear that. And at 6, Connor Orr, who covers the Jets in New York, covers the NFL draft as well. He wrote a nice piece about yesterday's joint practice. He was there, saw some of what went down. So we will talk to him about tomorrow's game. The Commanders are playing an actual football game, kind of. Can you call it a real football game? It's the realest fake football game that we're going to see. Commanders, Jets, noon kickoff in the Meadowlands, preseason 1 of 3 tomorrow, which I am so excited about. I know B. Mitch was just leaving. I was talking to him. He's flying out today. He'll be on the call tomorrow with Chick for the game on television. But Middlecoff at 3, Edholm at 5, Connor Orr at 6. And we still got some tickets to give away to end the week here. We've been giving out tickets on Grant and Danny all week long to go see Blues Traveler at Wolf Trap. I got 3 pairs to dole out today, so we're going to play a game. And the game is going to be, does Ryan know it? You will bet on or you will bet against my guy and your guy, Ryan Clary. We will ask him basic questions of knowledge. I would always bet on Ryan. Ryan's a smart guy. But sometimes you may go against him. We'll see. You got to get a couple in a row. You'll win tickets. We'll play that right after we went off the field at 3:45 today. So a lot going on. Tons to get into here on G&D without Danny. I wanted to start the show, though, after last night getting to sit on the couch and watch a little preseason football, by letting you guys know that I find the way that we go about the preseason now to be so discouraging. I just don't like where we're at, even though I understand it. The Panthers played the Patriots yesterday on NFL Network. I get home, I sit down, the game's getting started. Carolina did not play their second-year quarterback who needs reps, Bryce Young. Why? What are we doing? Now, if you want to say it was rainy, the weather was a factor, maybe that was part of the playing time. If that were the case, even though I'd still disagree with it, I guess there's some rationale to that. But Bryce Young was ruled out well before the weather really became an issue. Bryce Young was the first overall pick last year out of Alabama, and he struggled immensely. He had a terrible first year in the NFL. It was as unproductive and as worrisome a first year as I can remember for a pick at 1-1 in terms of looking like a major bust. Now, I'm not ready to put him in that category yet, and I don't think that's where he's headed. He's too accurate, and I like Dave Canales, frankly, too much. The coordinator in Tampa last year who helped save Baker Mayfield, who helped save Geno Smith in Seattle the year before that, who seems like a bit of a quarterback whisperer, knows what he's doing offensively. Young 40s, offensive-minded head coach, comes over to Carolina. And my guess is he gets a lot more out of Young this year. But I couldn't believe Canales' decision to not play Bryce Young in the first of their preseason games. Because he needs the work. The last time we saw him, he was bad. And now he's in a brand new offense. Didn't play at all. New England, on the other side of the ball, played Drake May for 6 snaps and 3 throws, which would make sense if he was their starter, but he's not. Jacoby Brissett's their starter. He threw the ball 3 times. I think he was 0 for 3 in the rain, and then he went to the sideline. And then they brought in Drake May, and they gave him a drive where they got behind on a 3rd and 13. He threw a screen to Antonio Gibson, our old friend, AG, made a 14-yard reception happen on a design screen, made a couple people miss, looked good, moved the chains, and then they went 3 and out after that. Couple of checkdowns, 2 for 3 for Drake May. Then he was out of the game. Again, I expect a similar workload with Jaden Daniels, who's your starter, who you don't want to risk getting injured. But May is supposedly going to be the backup for New England, not the starter. So not only are you not playing your starter, Jacoby Brissett because you don't want to risk him. You're also not playing your backup, who you made the number three overall pick Drake May, because you don't want to risk him. Like, where are we at with some of these preseason decisions? If the Commanders play Jaden Daniels for 5 or 6 or 7 snaps, which is what I'm anticipating, one drive, as long as it's not a three and out, you get him in, you get a first down, you get him back to the sideline. That's what I'm expecting. And I even understand that a little bit from their perspective, but it's just not how I would do it. The only thing I sign off on, and as a football fan that I think you guys should be okay with, is when veterans with a lot of experience who don't need work are asked not to do much in the preseason. But we're now at a place where the young guys who have no experience and need reps also aren't asked to do anything. Young, year two, first season, new scheme, gotta have it type year, nowhere to be found last night. May, not a starter, backup, chance to get work. They chose not to. And I'm not trying to go full football cowboy on you. It's not that I don't acknowledge the risk of injury. I totally do. I think I'm just more at peace with the fact that if you get injured, it happens at a time where you're trying to do something that's important. You know, that these games are a necessary evil. It seems like a lot of teams have just decided they're unnecessary. They're certainly unnecessary if you're John Allen or Daron Payne or Bobby Wagner. I agree with you there. I don't know how necessary they are for Terry McLaurin, even in a new scheme. But if you're a first-year quarterback or a second-year quarterback in a new offense coming off a terrible season, I don't understand how teams can feel comfortable not playing guys and getting them some reps and some work in these games. I'll just never get it. It's part of the process. It matters. And I think it helps. But I think I'm now in the minority on that. A couple days ago, we were talking about the preseason. I called it a juice worth the squeeze proposition. And I think that's how you got to look at it. If you're not going to get enough out of a veteran playing them, don't play them. But for kids, and for particularly passers in their early seasons in the league, guardrails off. I'm not going to be as careful. And I'm just now at a point where I almost wish you could fast forward these first couple of weeks of these exhibition games, because they've become such a tease the way we use them now. The game looks real. The helmets are still glistening under the lights. Those familiar voices are still on the play-by-play. You know, everything about the presentation is regular season-esque, and then the teams just tell you to kick rocks with who they play. The game, unless your team's on the field, which it will be tomorrow at noon, that's awesome. Everything else is borderline unwatchable after five minutes of football. And even if it's your team, you got to really want it. You got to nerd out for some August vibes, which I'm ready for. I can't wait. But I just don't think it has to be this way. It has never been this way. It's getting more and more ubiquitous that this is how we do it. But don't pretend like September doesn't look different either. Week one, week two, the early part of the season, the performances that we see, the product has suffered some. And I think that should be acknowledged as well. And maybe you don't care. Maybe your point is, oh, those guys were kept healthy. That's all that matters. Okay. I think you could try to have your cake and eat it too a little more often than we do. But where we'll agree, even if your team, I don't want anybody playing at all, that matters even a little bit, I am completely ready for two preseason games, not three. And that's going to happen, because when we go to 20 games divided by 18 in the regular season and two in the preseason, rather than our current ratio of 17 regular season, three preseason, now you only have the two August games. One will be used for your starters. One will be used for back of the roster hopefuls trying to make a name for themselves. But imagine being like a Patriots season ticket holder last night, and you're charging me the same for that game as you do for regular season. To a lot of teams' credits, and I think this is the right way to do it, they have started to stagger pricing on tickets a little bit, to the point where the preseason is a lot less, and then a regular season game against a bad team people aren't that excited about, you know, might be tiered a little lower. But then when the Patriots are playing the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is in town, you're going to pay out the wazoo. Like, I actually think that's probably a much more fair way to get to the same total. Because forever and ever, you just paid for 10 home games, 2 preseason, 8 regular season, and it was divided up by 10, and I'm paying the same for, you know, an August 13th game when Rex Grossman's throwing to Dante Stallworth as I am for a late October game when Robert Griffin's hooking up with Pierre Garçon. And sorry about it, but that just doesn't feel right to me as the consumer. But I'm selfish. I'm sitting on the couch. I want to watch football. I want to see some of the kids I'm excited about. And now you're just going through the motions for a couple hours. I just don't think it has to be this way. But with that in mind, I do want to turn my attention to tomorrow and the guys that should actually be on the field for Washington. Very little Jaden Daniels cameo. Bring it on. Can't wait. That'll be fun. Who else should we have our eyes on in preseason game number one for the Commanders against the Jets? I'll open up the phones for the first time today right now on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can call me at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. I want to know what player you're most excited to see and to track this preseason, starting with tomorrow afternoon's game. First guy I'm going to give you is Brandon Coleman. If you've listened to this show, you know I'm beating this drum pretty hard. I think he's got a chance to be the starting left tackle. Now, here's the bad news. I don't think he's going to play in the game tomorrow. They have not ruled him out, so I've got to assume until they do that there's a possibility he plays. But after he was a no-go in the joint session in the rain yesterday, I think he's been banged up this week. We may not see him. But if he plays, he is number one on my non-Daniels list of guys to watch because he's going to be tested more against the Jets than he has been against anybody at Commander's camp on their depth chart. The Jets' pass rushers are pretty good. I was watching some video yesterday that came out from their own broadcast network of some of the one-on-ones with Jermaine Johnson, their edge they drafted 2 years ago, and Will McDonald, the edge they drafted last year. McDonald put on some nasty spin moves on Chris Paul. He's a good-looking player. Speed rusher off the edge. They got a type that they like to draft that can get to the quarterback. And when Hassan Reddick shows up, they're actually going to be a really, really good defensive group up front getting after the QB. But I'm a big believer in Coleman. He's 23. He's 6'6" and 320 pounds. He's a massive player, really long arms. Third-round pick, 67th overall out of Texas Christian. He was second-team All-Big 12 last year. He made 7 starts at left tackle and 4 at left guard last season. He split those 2 spots. And a lot of teams around the league thought he was going to be drafted as a guard because he's kind of got a guard body, frankly. But he's got tackle length. Washington likes him as a tackle. You know, last year, he only gave up 1 sack on 723 snaps, which is overall snaps, not pass dropbacks, obviously. But you know, 1 sack all season. He had 32 pancakes, which sounds like a good breakfast to me at IHOP. Junior year, 1 year earlier, 15 games at left tackle. He was a full-time player at the position. When I caught up with him recently, he said he plans on playing left tackle. That's what he wants to do. He's always kind of thought that's where he's going to end up. And he and Washington are like-minded there. He's got to beat out Cornelius Lucas. And if he plays against the Jets, I think a strong game, he will be well-positioned to win the job. Now, if what I think happens takes place and he doesn't play in this game, then come next week against Miami, that joint practice and that game are massive for him, as big as he is at 6'6". He's got to find a way to have a really good couple of days there in Miami, and you'd probably write your name in pencil as the starting left tackle if you could pull that off. But he's right at the top of my list of guys I'm most excited to see. I've got a bevy of other names here that I want to run through with you. Not only why I want to see them, but what they can accomplish with a significant performance. But I want to hear from you guys on this next. Phones are open at 800-636-1067. If you don't want to make a call, you can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. Solo today. No Danny. The question for you, first game tomorrow, 3 preseason games loom. Give me the player you're most excited to track in this summer exhibition. You're listening to The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I just think he's been as consistent since he's been here. He calls the plays well. He gets us in and out of the huddle. Sometimes when we go up tempo, he knows what he's doing, and it just feels like he has a good feel of what Cliff and the offensive staff want him to do. And so, as you can see, a lot of guys touch the ball, which, you know, we have a lot of weapons. So I think that will continue to be the case, and I think he's just doing a good job of taking what the defense gives him. But also, when he has a chance to push the ball down the field, he's not afraid to do that.
Terry McLaurin likes what he has seen from rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. Most of you will get your first opportunity to see him tomorrow at noon. Commanders, Jets from the Meadowlands. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All of our camp coverage is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Darris, we don't need it right now, but maybe next segment coming out of the break. I'd like to play a quick, is it weird? I told Mullen something today. He was taken aback to the point where he thinks he needs to now re-rank how weird everybody is on the staff based on what I told him I like to do. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. In fact, I think it's efficient and correct. But let's get into that next segment. The question on the table for you guys right now as it pertains to your Commanders is, first of three preseason games tomorrow, give me the name of the player you're most excited about watching. Who's the guy you close your eyes, you think about kickoff tomorrow that you can't wait to see out on the field between the lines? 800-636-1067. I told you my guy would be Brandon Coleman. I am skeptical as to whether or not he's going to play. I'll give you another guy that I think should play, and who knows, maybe he won't. Again, preseason 2024, seems like teams don't really care about these games at all. Frankie Louvu, if he makes his debut. I cannot properly explain how much I love this player already. When they signed him, he was a guy that I remember a couple of my buddies in the NFL would talk about from time to time as like underrated, really good player. Check out this dude in Carolina. And you know who he is, but you don't know a lot about him, right? You go back and you watch a game or two, and you just fall in love. If that guy isn't one of the three or four most fan-friendly favorite players on the team, most beloved talents in Washington this year, either he got hurt, or I don't know what I'm watching anymore. People are going to really enjoy Luvu. He's 27. He's a tweener defender. More, you know, that almost sounds negative. I would say maybe a versatile defender sounds better because he can play everything. 6'3", 235. He can move him around. I like guys who are self-made, and nobody is more self-made than Frankie Luvu, who is an undrafted free agent out of Washington State, who barely made the Jets initially and had to fight and scratch and claw to be a specialist initially. And then he goes to Carolina, and he becomes a starting defender. And by the end of his time in Carolina, pretty darn good one. And now the third phase of his career is here in Washington, where now you're a high-paid leader. You're one of the best players on a defense. You've gone from special teams guy to starter they have some hopes for to now third level. You're high paid. You're a leader. We need you to run the room with Bobby Wagner. Last two seasons, Luvu, 12.5 sacks, 7 and 5.5. Off-ball linebacker getting some pass rush work. I think he'll rush the quarterback more. So I hope we get a look-see at Luvu. We get to see him thumping a little bit, being physical. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Shane, game one tomorrow. Who do you want to see?
It's got to be Forbes. He's got to have a bounce back year. He had one of the worst rookie seasons we've seen in life. They benched him. But he was a high draft pick. And that's what we need help on right now. Our corners are, I think, my opinion, probably the weakest in the league right now. We're strapped at corners. We need corner help, and he's got to step up. I want to see what he can do. I want to see what they're going to do. If they're going to put him in the nick, I don't know what they're going to do with him, truly. The man is fast. He's skinny. He has no weight. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's my it's got to be the secondary. I want to see the corners, what they can do during the preseason. The offensive line is what it is. I like to see Coleman as well, but I got to see Forbes. I got to see if he can have a bounce back year, if he's got any kind of character to himself, if he's that dog we think he is. Let's find out. Put him in preseason. Hell, play him every damn game in the preseason. He needs it. Trust me.
Yeah, he needs the work. There's no doubt about it. I appreciate the call. We have debated on this show quite a bit. Which position group is weakest? Where do they need help from a personnel standpoint? Danny's proclivity is they got to go get a wide receiver. I'm not telling you they're great there, but they're better at wide receiver than they are corner. And I would say the same thing about the O-line. I think a lot of people are really worried about the offensive line, and understandably so when you draft a quarterback number two who took a bunch of sacks at LSU. You want to be able to protect him so that he can do special things with the football and with his feet. You should be worried about the O-line. It's an important part of the puzzle here. But I believe this O-line is better than this cornerback room. You and I sound like we're in lockstep on this. St. Juste, as much as I like him and as much as he has flashed in camp, and I don't just mean this year, but over now 3 years, and in the preseason, I don't think he's a corner one. I don't think he's a guy I want following CeeDee Lamb and A.J. Brown all over the place. He's big. He's physical. He's long. He looks like a Dan Quinn corner. I'm pretty confident he'll have his best season with this coaching staff because this is the best he'll be coached as well. And he's got all the physical traits coming out of Minnesota in the third round. But outside of him, another super physical guy with some length, Michael Davis, comes over from the Chargers. I think he's more of a depth corner, based on what we've seen the last couple years, than a starter. Forbes really struggled. Let's not forget that it wasn't just that Eagles game everyone beats him up for last year. And I even think the evaluation of that game is probably unfair. Not that it was good, because it wasn't. It was not a great performance. 7 targets, 6 catches, 112 yards, touchdown against A.J. Brown. But it was more than that game last year for the 16th overall pick. I mean, he had a couple of performances like that. I had a great chat with him last week. Hopefully you guys heard it on the show, thefandc.com, if you missed it. But he's still talking the talk. He's still very confident, and he basically is completely washed last year away. There's a couple of ways to actually, you know, handle a really bad season. And it's funny because I talked to two guys that maybe had the most disappointing years on the team last year at practice recently. Forbes, who effectively said, I'm not thinking about last year. It's gone. He pointed out that he didn't, you know, in not the same number of words, but he didn't have a great relationship with the coaching staff. And then Jahan Dotson, when I talked to him, said, oh, I remember last year vividly. I need to remember it. It's important that I think about it constantly as motivation. So, like, there's two ways to do it. You could just set it and forget it, pretend like it never happened. I think that's what Forbes is doing. And then Dotson trying to use it as motivation. But Forbes is not the only guy in that secondary I really want to see. Quan Martin, the 47th pick last year out of Illinois, round two pick. He came on at the end of the year big time, and he's had a very good camp by all accounts. Somehow, the Rivera and the Marty Party group didn't have him take his first defensive snap until week six last year on a bad defense. Figure that one out. They didn't have him start a game until week 14. Again, what a joke. But he'll get a chance to play a huge role this year. And the other young guy I really want to see in that secondary is Mikey Sandra still. One of the practices I was at, he was great. He just looked ready to immediately help. He's been very solid overall at camp. 23-year-old rookie, second-round pick, 50th overall selection, out of Michigan, had a pick six in the national championship game. I want to see him keep stacking pennies, as I call it, right? Stack practices. Just you put another penny on the pile, man. Each day you have a good day, throw a penny on the pile. Next thing you know, you look up, you got some money. Let's go to Dominic in Ohio on Grant and Danny. Dom, who are you excited to see?
Hey, GP. Thanks, as always, for taking the call. So my excitement level is awkward, but it's for two of Ron's three first-rounders, and that's Jamin Davis and it's Forbes. And since the other guy touched on Forbes, I think they got to play both of those guys a ton. And I feel like, as you read, I think it was Fortier or it was maybe Craig Hoffman, both said that Jamin might be on the roster bubble. And if that dude can't progress and play against twos and threes, because I think they should both see a ton of snaps, it might be time to just jettison and start fresh.
So here's where this one's complicated, Dom. Great to hear from you, buddy. Good phone call. Thank you. Very handsome man. Met him last year about this time at our Grant and Danny fantasy football draft, which we've got to start planning again, boys, at some point here very soon. But figuring out Jamin Davis's performances in the preseason is going to be hard. Because I think you're right. First-round pick going into his fourth year, he should be dominating backups when he's playing in the third quarter of these games. But if he's playing at a brand-new position, I don't know that that's the case. Like, I was watching him at practice off the edge, and he was having problems with Trent Scott occasionally, who's not a starter and, frankly, may not make the team at tackle. Probably is, like, their fourth tackle or something like that right now. And Davis was not beating him. He wasn't winning. He was pretty consistently, actually, kind of in stalemates with him in 11-on-11 work. And I'm sitting there going, man, by now you'd like to see more out of Jamin Davis, and that's probably true, except he's a couple weeks in at a new position. Now, if he's at linebacker and he's struggling immensely and guys who aren't going to be on the team are beating him, then I'd agree with you that that's a bad look for Davis. But I think you have to, if you're changing his position, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt then to also wash this slate clean. He wasn't drafted as a first rounder 3 years ago as an edge defender. So I don't think you can grade him on that same scale, just out of fairness. Here's what I know about Jamin Davis. Is he on the roster bubble? Probably. Is there a chance he gets cut? Yes. I don't think he should be. I think good coaching is about finding elite athletic traits and maximizing those, finding ways to have guys help you. You cannot convince me that a guy that runs like Jamin Davis is as physical as Jamin Davis, has shown some of the ability to pin his ears back and rush the quarterback like Jamin Davis, can't help you at all as a football team. I'm sorry. And I sound like a defender of his. I'm not. I think you guys know that if you've listened to this show the last few years. I mean, I found the entire process after the pick and his performances, I mean, it's mostly been maddening, but there's no reason why a guy with his skills couldn't be one of 24 to 26 defenders kept. But yes, you've got to show something. I think maybe the most likely scenario now might be even that he gets traded if they can get him to show out once or twice in the preseason, which is why I think Dom could be onto something. He might play a lot. But I'd like to see him make the roster because he can help you at linebacker on the second level off the ball. And maybe there's a path to him helping you as a pass rusher as well. Although he's been quieter in that regard at camp than we anticipated. Noon tomorrow, we are sub 24 hours away from the preseason debut for the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn operation in D.C. No, Danny, I'm Grant solo today. I'll get you an Is It Weird quickly, and then more of the players you guys are looking forward to watching next on The Fan. Seeing videos all over the internet today of some of the flooding taking place in Old Town Alexandria, up in Fells Point near Baltimore, Annapolis. You know, any of those cute little water towns, little areas right on the water where everybody sits and eats and looks out at the water normally. They seem to always flood with these big storms. But shocker, you get one of these every single time. A local TV person just posted a video. The water has risen so high in Fells Point that someone is kayaking in the middle of Thames Street. And there's a lady just kayaking like she's out in the river. This will be an old man take. People should stay out of those waters. It's so gross and so dirty. You have no idea what's in those waters. Just all of the crap that's normally on and around the street and God knows what people are throwing out. Like, I don't know. And that just always gross to me. It's the first thing I think about when I see people walking through and or kayaking is get a job. Like, go do something different than that. Or don't get a job. Just sit at home and don't kayak in those waters, I guess. John Middlecoff, the former NFL scout, is going to be on the show at 3. Eric Edholm ranked the Commanders bottom 7 in the NFL, but he's very high on their chances to be the surprise team in the league. We'll talk to him at 5 today. Quickly, though, I wanted to crowbar in, is it weird before we get back to talking about the preseason. All right, the judges today will be producer Darius Dameron and producer Ryan Clary. We won't go to the phones in the interest of time. I came in today, and I confided something in Jim Mullins of B. Mitch and Finley fame, who was producing the show for them today. So I sent a audio clip out to a text thread with buddies. On said thread, it's our Nats chat. Thread. It's me, Clary, Darius, and Toby Altizer of Bustin' Loose Baseball fame. And so I sent out a clip from Good Morning Football today about one of our favorite broadcasters. And just an audio clip. It's from a podcast. And I sent the clip, and it was at 1.5 speed. I didn't think anything of it. And Toby responded and said, listening to a podcast at 1.5 speed is diabolical, which is a hilarious text. But I realize, and I've told you this recently, Darius, I now, even when I'm listening to normal 1.0 speed anything, it feels like it's like 0.8 or 0.9 because I'm so used to speed when I listen to stuff. I am a 1.5 guy as a default setting. If somebody's a very fast talker, I might back them down to 1.4, 1.3. But more often than not, I would say, I would even hedge up from there. Like, if I have to listen at 1.25 or 1.75, I'm probably a 1.75 guy. But on average, I listen to everything at 1.5. And Toby was like, that's insane. What are you, that's crazy person stuff. And I told Mullins, and it just blew his mind completely.
Yeah, you walked in studio the other day, and I was listening to a podcast, and you said, are you listening to that on 0.50 or something? I was like, no, it's regular speed. So,
this is how they were talking. I think if they're smart with, and I'm like, please say the words. Get the words out, stupid. Quicker, 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 quicker. But you were saying it was on 1, that they were just normally talking.
On normal speed, like and a normal person would listen to.
I do think I am building up some type of normalcy to the up-tempo pace. It's like I'm watching a Chip Kelly offense so much that now when I've got to watch someone trying to snap the ball with 2 seconds left on the play clock, it's unwatchable. I don't know how to describe it. It's crazy to me. But here's the kicker, and this is where I think I'm going to lose the is it weird. So I might have to try to put some toothpaste back in the tube after this. I also admitted to Mullins that there are times when I will watch something at an elevated speed as well. There's some caveats before everyone judges me. So people go, you could do that. For some reason on television, like actually on your TV for Netflix, you can't speed up the program. But on your phone, at least my phone, I am able, right at the bottom there, they give me the option. They don't do it for no reason. And it doesn't go up to like 2 times. It's 1.2 or 1.4 or something like that. But you can speed up whatever you're watching. And if I'm binging a show, more often than not, like a dramatic show, it can't be something that's overly dialogue heavy. I wouldn't do this with an Aaron Sorkin show where what is being said is critical. If it's a comedy, a movie, or something like that, maybe. But I showed you guys. Like, I'm watching this movie on Netflix last night. I pulled it up on my phone. I put it on 1.25, and nothing's different. It cuts out some of, like, the scenes where they're, instead of staring off in the distance for a second and a half, it's like 0.8 seconds. And next thing you know, they say more words. Now, again, that one's tough to come back from, I admit. And I've taken heat from people before that are like, enjoy the art as it's made, man. Stop trying to edit the art. If it takes away from the movie or the show, trust me, I'm not doing it. But I want to set that one to the side because that's definitely weird. I'll admit that. Is it weird to listen to audio, no video, at 1.5 as a regular speed?
As much as I want to say that it is weird, they give you the option. I don't think it's that weird. I wouldn't personally, I wouldn't do it unless there was some sort of long form, say, audiobook that I wanted to listen to. Not something that I do very commonly, but if I did want to listen to it, I could see myself putting myself in a situation where I listen to it.
I knock out books faster.
I can imagine so, which yeah.
And in books, it can be a show. I might go 1.8 on a book, okay? But, like, as long as I can still pick up what they're saying, we're in good shape. But the other thing is, a lot of times, what I'm listening to, podcasts or otherwise, like, I'm listening for a reason. I'm getting nuggets. I'm hearing analysis. I'm hearing stats. Like, I'm getting to the information. I don't need a lot of the nonsense. Like, if I have I listen to, you know, something and I know that, like, the program generally, let's say, or like a book, that the first minute is them telling you it's this is produced by this company and these people print the pages. I'm just skipping through all of that anyway. For me, this is about efficiency.
So I ultimately do think it is weird, but it's not the fact that you are listening to it sped up. It's the fact that you feel as if you need to save whatever amount of time that is from just listening to the normal version that like everyone else listens to. So because I feel like it's a time-saving thing, and that's why you do it. I don't think it's the fact that like you retain more information or whatever it is.
I think it's twofold, Clary. It cuts out the BS of just like, if you're saying something in 30 seconds that I can hear in 26, then I can save 4 seconds. Time is of the essence, no doubt.
That is true.
But on top of that, if I'm not losing the point, if I'm still hearing every word and I'm missing some of the pregnant pauses or I'm missing some of the, in a movie or whatever, just like moments where nothing's happening, so what?
I know, but I think that's the weird part for me. It's like in podcast form here, I just feel like that's kind of like the weird part where I'm like, I don't understand it. Like saving, if you're listening to like an hour long podcast, if you're listening to 1.5, I'm assuming you're saving what? Like
15 minutes? For the people that listen to our pod every single day.
Yeah.
And I routinely will go back and listen to the show or different things, different segments, listen to Jay. I'm never at 1.0. I'm always at like 1.25 or something like that.
I would never.
I'm surprised to catch a little bit of the shrapnel that I'm catching. Now, if I said every movie I've ever watched and every show I watch at 1.5, that's insanity. Like, put me on a watch list. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But occasionally, if we're not dialogue heavy to go 1.25 on a Netflix show, where like just people are making dramatic faces a lot, I think that's okay. Go to Terry in Danville who wants to hop in. Got to be quick here, Terry. I know you've been waiting. Which commander do you want to watch tomorrow at noon against the Jets?
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the call. First of all, I would love to see the kickoff. I think it's going to be an extra 7 points a game scored this season for each team. It's just going to be a high-scoring game. But I'm going to love to see, and I would like to see Austin Ekeler as their kickoff returner. Need a running back there. And I also would like to see Jaden Daniels get himself with the timing, with the receivers and all. And I love Chris Rodriguez. I think he's a gem.
Yeah, he runs hard, man. For people that don't remember, Rodriguez is the sixth-round pick out of Kentucky last year, led the team in yards per attempt. Might be a forgotten lost man on the depth chart this year, but he's a violent, physical player, big battering ram, a little redundant, in my opinion, with Robinson. It's kind of an odd pick in that way, but definitely like his game. I don't know that you're going to see more points out of kick returns directly. There was only one kick return touchdown with these XFL rules 2 years ago in the XFL. As a comparison to four kick return touchdowns in the NFL last year, you're just going to see a lot more returns in general. You know, it was actually a 23-yard average return in the league last year. It was 21 yards return in the XFL using these rules 2 years ago. The difference was there was 2.2 kick returns per game in the NFL last season with the old rule. There was over 7 kick returns per game in the XFL. In fact, it was over 8 in the final year of the XFL 2 years ago. So the ball will actually be returned. You'll see more football plays, which is good. Let's talk to John Middlecoff, former NFL scout. We could talk about the kick return. Also want to dive into Brandon Ayuk with him. Grant and Danny. No Danny on the Fan. I'm seeing videos all over the internet today of some of the flooding taking place in Old Town Alexandria, up in Fells Point near Baltimore. Annapolis, you know, any of those cute little water towns, little areas right on the water where everybody sits and eats and looks out at the water normally, they seem to always flood with these big storms. But shocker, you get one of these every single time. A local TV person just posted a video. The water has risen so high in Fells Point that someone is kayaking in the middle of Thames Street. And there's a lady just kayaking like she's out in the river. This will be an old man take. People should stay out of those waters. It's so gross and so dirty. You have no idea what's in those waters. Just all of the crap that's normally on and around the street and God knows what people are throwing out. Like, I don't know. And that just always gross to me. It's the first thing I think about when I see people walking through and or kayaking is get a job. Like, go do something different than that. Or don't get a job. Just sit at home and don't kayak in those waters, I guess. John Middlecoff, the former NFL scout, is going to be on the show at 3. Eric Edholm ranked the Commanders bottom 7 in the NFL, but he's very high on their chances to be the surprise team in the league. We'll talk to him at 5 today. Quickly, though, I wanted to crowbar in, is it weird before we get back to talking about the preseason? All right, the judges today will be producer Darius Dameron and producer Ryan Clary. We won't go to the phones in the interest of time. I came in today. And I confided something in Jim Mullins of B. Mitch and Finley fame, who was producing the show for them today. So I sent an audio clip out to a text thread with buddies. On said thread, it's our Nats chat thread. It's me, Clary, Darius, and Toby Altizer of Bustin' Loose Baseball fame. And so I sent out a clip from Good Morning Football today about one of our favorite broadcasters. And just an audio clip. It's from a podcast. And I sent the clip, and it was at 1.5 speed. I didn't think anything of it. And Toby responded and said, listening to a podcast at 1.5 speed is diabolical, which is a hilarious text. But I realized, and I've told you this recently, Darius, I now, even when I'm listening to normal 1.0 speed anything, it feels like it's like 0.8 or 0.9 because I'm so used to speed when I listen to stuff. I am a 1.5 guy as a default setting. If somebody's a very fast talker, I might back them down to 1.4, 1.3. But more often than not, I would say, I would even hedge up from there. Like if I have to listen at 1.25 or 1.75, I'm probably a 1.75 guy. But on average, I listen to everything at 1.5. And Toby was like, that's insane. What are you, that's crazy person stuff. And I told Mullins and it just blew his mind completely.
Yeah, you walked in studio You walked in studio the other day, and I was listening to a podcast, and you said, are you listening to that on 0.50 or something? I was like, no, it's regular speed. So,
this is how they were talking. I think if they're smart. And I'm like, please say the words. Get the words out, stupid. Quicker, 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 quicker. But you were saying it was on one, that they were just normally talking.
On normal speed, like and a normal person would listen to.
I do think I am building up some type of normalcy to the up-tempo pace. It's like I'm watching a Chip Kelly offense so much that now when I've got to watch someone trying to snap the ball with 2 seconds left on the play clock, it's unwatchable. I don't know how to describe it. It's crazy to me. But here's the kicker, and this is where I think I'm going to lose the is it weird. So I might have to try to put some toothpaste back in the tube after this. I also admitted to Mullins that there are times when I will watch something at an elevated speed as well. There's some caveats before everyone judges me. So people go, you can do that. For some reason on television, like actually on your TV for Netflix, you can't speed up the program. But on your phone, at least my phone, I am able. They're right at the bottom there, they give me the option. They don't do it for no reason. And it doesn't go up to like 2 times. It's 1.2 or 1.4 or something like that. But you can speed up whatever you're watching. And if I'm binging a show, more often than not, like a dramatic show, it can't be something that's overly dialogue heavy. I wouldn't do this with an Aaron Sorkin show where what is being said is critical. If it's a comedy, a movie, or something like that, maybe. But I showed you guys. Like, I'm watching this movie on Netflix last night. I pulled it up on my phone. I put it on 1.25, and nothing's different. It cuts out some of, like, the scenes where they're, instead of staring off in the distance for a second and a half, it's like 0.8 seconds. And next thing you know, they say more words. Now, again, that one's tough to come back from, I admit. And I've taken heat from people before that are like, enjoy the art as it's made, man. Stop trying to edit the art. If it takes away from the movie or the show, trust me, I'm not doing it. But I want to set that one to the side because that's definitely weird. I'll admit that. Is it weird to listen to audio, no video, at 1.5 as a regular speed?
As much as I want to say that it is weird, they give you the option. I don't think it's that weird. I wouldn't personally, I wouldn't do it unless there was some sort of long form, say, audiobook that I wanted to listen to. Not something that I do very commonly, but if I did want to listen to it, I could see myself putting myself in a situation where I listen to it.
I knock out books faster.
I can imagine so, yeah.
And in books, it can be a show. I might go 1.8 on a book, okay? But like, as long as I can still pick up what they're saying, we're in good shape. But the other thing is, a lot of times what I'm listening to, podcasts or otherwise, like I'm listening for a reason. I'm getting nuggets. I'm hearing analysis. I'm hearing stats. Like I'm getting to the information. I don't need a lot of the nonsense. Like if I have I listen to, you know, something and I know that like the program generally, let's say, or like a book, that the first minute is them telling you it's, this is produced by this company and these people print the pages. I'm just skipping through all of that anyway. For me, this is about efficiency.
So I ultimately do think it is weird, but it's not the fact that you are listening to it sped up. It's the fact that you feel as if you need to save whatever amount of time that is from just listening to the normal version that like everyone else listens to. So because I feel like it's a time-saving thing, and that's why you do it. I don't think it's the fact that like you retain more information or whatever.
I think it's twofold, Clary. It cuts out the BS of just like, if you're saying something in 30 seconds that I can hear in 26, then I can save 4 seconds. Time is of the essence, no doubt.
That is true.
But on top of that, if I'm not losing the point, if I'm still hearing every word and I'm missing some of the pregnant pauses or I'm missing some of the, in a movie or whatever, just like moments where nothing's happening, so what?
I know, but I think that's the weird part for me. It's like in podcast form here, I just feel like that's kind of like the weird part where I'm like, I don't understand it. Like saving, if you're listening to like an hour long podcast, if you're listening to 1.5, I'm assuming you're saving what? Like,
if you, like
15
for the people
minutes?
That listen to our pod every single day.
Yeah.
And I routinely will go back and listen to the show or different mm-hmm. things, different segments, listen to Jay. I'm never at 1.0. I'm always at like 1.25 or something
crazy.
Like that.
I would never.
I'm surprised to catch a little bit of the shrapnel that I'm catching. Now, if I said every movie I've ever watched and every show I watch at 1.5, that's insanity. Like, put me on a watch list. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But occasionally, If we're not dialogue heavy to go 1.25 on a Netflix show, where like just people are making dramatic faces a lot, I think that's okay. Let's go to Terry in Danville who wants to hop in. Got to be quick here, Terry. I know you've been waiting. Which Commander do you want to watch tomorrow at noon against the Jets?
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the call. First of all, I would love to see the kickoff. I think it's going to be an extra 7 points a game scored this season for each team. This is going to be a high-scoring game. But I'm going to love to see, and I would like to see Austin Ekeler as their kickoff returner. Need a running back there. And I also would like to see Jaden Daniels get himself with the timing, with the receivers and all. And I love Chris Rodriguez. I think he's a gem.
Yeah, he runs hard, man. For people that don't remember, Rodriguez is the sixth-round pick out of Kentucky last year, led the team in yards per attempt. Might be a forgotten lost man on the depth chart this year, but he's a violent, physical player, big battering ram, a little redundant, in my opinion, with Robinson. It's kind of an odd pick in that way, but definitely like his game. I don't know that you're going to see more points out of kick returns directly. There was only one kick return touchdown with these XFL rules 2 years ago in the XFL as a comparison to four kick return touchdowns in the NFL last year. You're just going to see a lot more returns in general. You know, it was actually a 23-yard average return in the league last year. It's 21 yards return in the XFL using these rules 2 years ago. The difference was there was 2.2 kick returns per game in the NFL last season with the old rule. There was over 7 kick returns per game in the XFL. In fact, it was over 8 in the final year of the XFL 2 years ago. So the ball will actually be returned. You'll see more football plays, which is good. Let's talk to John Middlecoff, former NFL scout. We could talk about the kick return. Also want to dive into Brandon Ayuk with him. Grant and Danny. No Danny on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.